Hey, Stu.
Tom, how we doing?
Good, bud. Tactical Fitness Report number 16. Yeah, the importance of breathing.
All right, so, breathing. I love it. Breathing. You got to be good at it because we do it every day.
You said in the article that we breathe about 20,000 times a day.
Yeah, I've never counted. I just read that somewhere.
I hope that was true. I hope we're not. Yeah, we both have just started something that...
That's a lot of damn breathing.
Yeah, it's a lot of breathing. In the article itself, though, Stu, and if people want to find this, they can find it under the importance of breathing and then append your name to the search and look on military.com. You can live for weeks without food, days without water, but only minutes without air.
Yeah, it's that important.
So in the article, Stu, you go through a number of different uses of breathing that are beyond just the performance breathing, the one that centers around doing physical activity. So spend a minute and go through some of these aspects of breathing and how you found them to be valuable.
Sure. Well, I'll start off with a story. I would say probably the most important, best piece of advice I ever received from one of my BUDS instructors. Actually, it was post BUDS. It was more like, advanced training type stuff when live fire was going on. And, you know, as the officer in charge of a group that never had worked together before, really, you know, and now we're trying to work together and shoot guns and move and communicate. And it's, you know, it's a fairly stressful moment, right? When you got live bullets flying over you and everything's going on. So I just remember kind of getting a little bit too focused in what I was doing and not focused on what everybody was doing and moving them properly and all that. And then, the instructor just stopped everything and just said, Smith, you're in charge of this show, right? You got to get your guys from here to here moving with a purpose, moving with a flow and keep everybody moving, right? You're too focused on what you were doing and shooting your targets. I said, oh, okay. That makes sense. But he goes, first of all, what I want you to do is instead of looking down your sights all the time, look at everybody else left and right and take a big, deep breath, right? Take a breath. And it really did help. You know, he also took my magazine out for the next round, so I couldn't even shoot. Because sometimes you get, you know how you get fixated on your sights and, you know, your whole world goes from here, you know, when you can see everything to here, where you're only focused on this. And that was what I was doing wrong, you know, but then taking that breath, it really opened my eyes up again. And I was able to see the big picture and have a little bit more situational awareness. So it's that important. And there's so many of these things that we're about to talk about, all these different types of breaths that I never knew I was doing, right? I never knew it was that you had other things that you could use these breaths for. Because what do you do before you shoot? You know, you take a big, deep breath, kind of relax, and you shoot. What do you do before you shoot a free throw? Take a big, deep breath, right? What do you get up before you take a bat, you know, and swing a ball? Get in the batter's box, take a big deep breath. You know, all of those things come into play. And I've been doing it for decades and just never knew it had a name and a physiological response to helping me calm down, helping me focus. And you can even help yourself kind of wake up and get more active mentally. So, yeah, we can go through all these different types of breaths that we did in the article. Real quick, I think the number one is the relaxing breath. And this one I tend to use every day. You know, there is something every day that pisses me off.
Right? Jeez, I didn't know that you, I mean, I've known you all these years. I didn't know you had such a hair trigger.
It's something will. It might be something on TV. It might be the car who just pulled in front of me and about made me wreck. You know, might be something my kids did. I don't know. But, you know, there's something that torques me some way. But I will have this now response after been kind of knowing how to handle that for years is to take a big deep breath. Big in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just relax. If it's really bad, I'll take a couple of them. Take a couple big deep breaths and just kind of let those butterflies calm down. You know, it could be something as, you know, right before a presentation, you know, doing a big presentation in front of hundreds of people. You know, butterflies are flying, you're getting a little amped up. A couple big deep breaths helps you alleviate some of that anxiety. So I think that's number one, is probably the most useful tool in breathing for me on an everyday basis.
You told me that Denise watches for that. When she sees it, she asks you what's going on, right?
Oh, yeah. She can definitely tell when something bothers me because she notices that big deep breath. But, you know, it's better than me, you know, smacking somebody or, know, or yelling at somebody in haste. You know, it's just a way for me to collect your thoughts. It's almost like count to 10 before you say anything, you know, type of thing, you know, whenever your parents would say, you know, don't just, you know, smart mouth all the time, you know, just take a big deep breath and count to 10 before you have anything to say after somebody has offended you or made you angry or whatever. But, you know, life or death situation is completely different. You know, yeah. You may not need that breath. You may want to, boom, hit that natural reaction and, you know, react in a split second to save a life or your life. You know, so there's hormonally, it's the very same thing. I mean, you perceive a threat to come in, and hormonally, whoosh, you got all that adrenaline rushing to you, whether it's, you know, in the form of, you know, you accidentally, you know, running off the side of the road and you got all this adrenaline coming, you know, your body thinks and your mind thinks you're going through a life or death situation. It responds accordingly, pumps on all those hormones in there, and you're like that. So that relaxing breath can help you deal with it when it happens in a not so life or death situation, but the same hormones are pumping in there.
Yeah. You know, Stu, you also mentioned that you can use breathing to wake yourself up.
Yeah. You know what? Caffeine to do the same thing, I think, but, no, just
good. Excellent.
But you know, it's kind of like this presentation, right? I would hate to have a several hour long presentation where you and I are sitting here talking to each other, though I love you, you know, and I could probably do that, but not many people want to watch. And here's what would be happening if they were watching us talk for a couple hours. People would be like this.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so if you're in class, you're in a situation where it's kind of boring, and you need to stay awake. You know, one of the things we used to do is, one, we'd stand up. You know, it's hard to fall asleep when you're standing up. Two, and we'd take these, we call them wake up breaths, kind of. So, and you just breathe in and out of your nose real fast for about 30 seconds. So it looks kind of funny and it sounds kind of funny, but it's just, you're almost kind of hyperventilating a little bit, you know, yeah. And it gets your heart rate up. And, you know, if you do it for about 30 seconds, you kind of got a little bit of lightheadedness going on and your heart rate's up. You almost even break a sweat a little bit. And I promise you, you will be awake for at least a couple minutes. You might have to do it again, you know, 10 minutes later. But, yeah, the wake up breath, you know, it's something that's out there. Do I use it every day? No. But it's something that I have done in the past, along with like a, you know, big thing of caffeine to stay awake during a long drive or something like that, if I'm, you know, starting to get a little tired.
Yeah, that was the thing I was thinking, where in most lives, it's where you have to stay awake. It's where you're driving late at night. You know, I used to always use the old open all the windows routine. Yes. If you start to feel that way, but that kind of nose breathing for high, and where you get yourself in almost a hyperventilation situation, then your body has to work to recover from it, does change the whole dynamic and keep you going for a while, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's something out there. It works. And, you know, give it a try if you need it.
Yeah. And I imagine that a number of people that are our viewers and listeners do need that periodically. You know, the more common one, Stu, that, you know, you've taught for years and we all learned is the running breath or the, and we'll, let's separate that out from the PT breath, because that's also the one that matters, right? Breathing during working out, but talk a minute about the running breath and why that's important to do it the way you suggest.
Yeah, you know, once you learn how to breathe properly when you run, you will find that you will run faster and be able to run longer, right? Because a lot of people screw up with when they're running is, and you see it all the time, you know, people are almost hyperventilating when they're running. You know, they're running and they're going, you know, and they're just barely even jogging. Right? Mm-hmm. They haven't really gotten a rhythm of breathing. I think one thing that probably helped me with learning how to breathe with a rhythm was swimming. Because if you know, you know, with swimming, you got a 1, 2, 3 breathe, 1, 2, 3 breathe, or you pick a number, 1, 2, 3, 4 breathe. You know, you have to be in a rhythm when you are swimming.
Yeah.
So running's really the same thing. Some people like this 1-to-1 ratio type of thing. So where you run 2 to 3 steps inhale. I usually try to run 3 steps inhale, 3 steps exhale. But as I get going a little faster, I might have to exhale a little faster and maybe drop everything out at 2. So it's left, right, left while you're inhaling, right, left, right while you're exhaling. Left, right, left, right, left, right, right, left. So, and, you know, I find it drops your heart rate. So one, if you're hyperventilating, what's going to happen? Your heart rate's going to increase. You're going to be in that anaerobic zone. You're going to be burning all your sugar, and you just don't have a lot of ability to run at that level for very long. You're just going to start getting slower and slower and slower. But if you can slow your heart rate down and kind of maintain a fast level but still be aerobic in your energy system, you will find that, you know, you can be amazing in running just by keeping your heart rate down. I mean, you think about it. You can't run a marathon in, what is it now, 2 hours and 12 minutes or whatever like that, running 430 miles for 26 miles. You can't run that and be anaerobic.
No.
Right? I mean, it's amazing to me that someone could even run a sub-5 mile and be aerobic. You know, I've run a sub-5 mile once, and it was 1 mile, and I was puking on the other end. And, you know, I mean, my heart rate was so high. It was like one of those full out, all you can do, let's see what we can do for a mile. And it was awful, right? I can't imagine being able to do that and be in the aerobic zone, right? With your heart rate maybe at, you know, 120 versus 190.
They're also built a little differently than you and I are, Stu.
That is true. That is true.
Right. They're not carrying anywhere nearly the physical weight that we are.
That is true. Yeah. You're right. But
you know, still, and one of the things that I've noticed, if you're on sustained ground, like if you're on sustained downhill, expanding that ratio is helpful.
Yeah. You know,
instead of 3-to-3, go 4-to-4 or go 4-to-5. And you've over time, you've taught me if you're going to extend one of those ratios, extend the exhale. So make it 3 in, 4 out or 4 in, 5 out. And sometimes on downhills, especially if you're long, like in Arizona, we have these long, you know, they're somewhat mountainous areas where you're going down for a long time. And obviously you've gone up also for a long time.
Yeah.
But extending that ratio also helps. And I've been surprised at how far I can extend that ratio of, you know, 5 in, 5 steps in, 5 steps out when you're going downhill compared to, you know, more stressful uphill or on
that's
the flat.
Pretty good. I've never tried it going that high.
So now, this is really awesome. Interesting, Stu, because this is stuff you told me to do and then you've never done it. Why are you doing this to me, man? Or you're using me as a guinea pig, I think. No, you know, Stu, I'll tell you why you did that. you told me that when I was not able to run and I was hiking.
Oh, okay.
And I would say it was almost a variation of hypoxic work,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
Because you don't, when you're alone, as you know, you all of our listeners and viewers know, don't do hypoxic work when you're alone.
Swimming? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you can do the same thing when you're hiking or running. You can do hypoxic breathing. But if you're alone, do it by extending the ratio. So try pushing your exhale further, try pulling your inhale further. And it's not as good as hypoxic, but it does form a similar purpose. At least I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I like that.
So Stu, talk a little bit about breathing. We talked about running, breathing, and obviously swimming, breathing. And then I just talked about hypoxic. A lot of us that have done a lot of water work know what hypoxic breathing is. But take a second and talk about what hypoxic workouts are, why you do them, how you do them.
Yeah, I think hypoxic's probably a bad name for it because you're not really, low oxygen. You still have the same amount of oxygen coming in as you would, Now, the only time you are hypoxic is when you get higher altitudes. You're actually getting hypoxic. This is just a version of skip breathing, basically. So what you're doing with like freestyle swimming, you would go, 1, 2, 3 strokes, breathe, right? That's a normal arm pull. 1, 2, 3 arm pulls, you breathe. However, you want to make it a little bit harder on yourself while you're swimming freestyle. Try to extend that to you breathe every 5th, 7th, 9th, or if you like to breathe only on one side and be an even breather, you can go in between, 6, 8, 10 strokes per breath. And a stroke is an arm pull. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, inhale, right? And usually what I do is I'll hold my breath for about half of it and then start exhaling the other half while underwater. So when I turn on that 8th one, I got my inhale right there. And it will increase your heart rate tremendously. In fact, we even use it as a way to work the heart while we're teaching technique. So we may be working on the combat swimmer stroke. So what we'll do instead of just kind of a boring day of combat swimmer stroke technique stuff where you're not really getting a hard workout, but you're learning skills, we'll add a workout in there where you'll go 50 freestyle, really hard sprint, skip breathing, 8 strokes per breath, where you get really winded, and then you try to catch your breath with a 50 combat swimmer stroke, right? And you do that 10 times. So it's, it's a 100-yard set times 10. It's a 1,000-yard swim workout. But at least you're getting practice swimming the combat swimmer stroke while you're tired. And it almost, once I see somebody can do it, do the stroke and you got the timing down of everything, then we add that element into it and let's see how it looks when you're tired, because 200, 300 yards into a 500 yard swim test, you're going to be tired doing this combat swimmer stroke. So it does help to have the ability to maintain your timing, your stroke, your breathing rhythm, while doing the combat swimmer stroke as well. So it's just a way to kind of get in a little bit better swim condition, I would say.
Yeah.
And it simulates you later on in the swim. If you can do a combat swimmer stroke for 50 to 100 and then try your do your freestyle 50 to 100 real fast and then do a combat swimmer stroke trying to catch your breath with a combat swimmer stroke, it makes the combat swimmer stroke a lot more useful, especially when you're just starting to take tests for the first time.
Yeah, makes sense. And so what you're doing here, Stu, is you've just described the two extremes. You've described how you can use breathing to calm yourself down, lower your heart rate, and now you've explained how you can, through skip breathing or the improper use of the word hypoxic breathing,
right,
which we were taught years ago, that you can use it to raise your heart rate and make the workout harder when you're not pushing yourself in a physical way as hard as you would normally push.
Right.
So you're using breathing to counteract and make your body do something you wouldn't normally, yeah. It doesn't normally do.
Yeah, that's a great way. I mean, that's a great way of looking at it. Yep.
So Stu, the other thing is breathing while working out, while doing push-ups, while doing sit-ups. You know, you've always taught me over the years that breathing is an essential method of being able to do the sit-up test, to do the push-up test, and just making sure that you're breathing in sync with what you're doing. So explain a little bit about how important it is to breathe properly while you're exercising.
Sure. You know, if you're lifting weights, you know, it's always better to obviously not hold your breath and try to strain and lift weights because, you know, blood vessels pop and it increases your blood pressure tremendously. So what you want to do is try to exhale on the exertion. So think of it that way. You're exhaling on the exertion, especially for weighted exercises. Now with calisthenics, you know, you can kind of get away with a rhythm of exercise. Obviously, you're doing really fast push-ups, you know, maybe one per second. You don't want to be inhaling and exhaling all in a second. So you're going to get in a rhythm, all very similar to running. You might get three push-ups in, three push-ups out, you know, those type of things. Sit-ups, you know, a little bit different. You create some abdominal pressure every time you come up, so you may want to exhale during that. It helps, you know, shrink the diaphragm a little bit so you're not trying to squeeze against the diaphragm. Probably will come out naturally anyway because you're creating that pressure. So, you know, inhale on the way down, you know, exhale on the way up. Pull-ups and dips, you know, both of those exercises are calisthenics. However, they're kind of like the full body version of the calisthenic. I call them the heavyweight version of calisthenics. Those are very similar to weight training where, you know, you can actually, you know, you can do dips pretty fast if you have short arms, pull up same way, but typically you're going to get in a little faster rhythm or maybe even a 1-to-1 ratio with your repetitions, with your breathing. So you might want to exhale on the ups. You will definitely do it later in your set. You might be able to get 10 pull ups real fast, but then like your 12, 13, 14, you might have to hang in there, get a breath and exhale on the up, you know, anything. Exhale on the exertion. Yes.
So one of the techniques, Stu, that I was taught years ago, we were both taught by similar groups, is the, some people call it box breathing. I think you and I were taught four and four, but for four, where you use a method of breathing to reduce immediate stress while you're waiting to do something. So this is right. So this is like pool comp or where you're waiting in order to have to qualify for something. And you have to stand there for 5 minutes or sit for 5 minutes waiting, or take it into even a business thing. And I used it not too long ago where I had to wait before I went in to do something. And if you stand there and just let yourself go, usually you will go in the wrong direction, right? I mean,
the anxiety of your next event, that's very important to your life, your profession, your family, whatever that is, you know, that you are about to go do. You know, anxiety, you know, is a real animal. You know, it is something that will create the same exact hormones that bullets flying over your head will create. Mm-hmm. You know, and it can debilitate you to a degree, you know, if you're not careful. You know, at the same time, you know, if you can control it a little bit with this box breathing method, you can kind of use that adrenaline for energy, for focus. It helps you focus more. So it's kind of like good and bad of all these hormones that come in whenever we're stressed. You know, some of them are, it increases your heart rate, it wakes you up, it allows you to focus on what's going on around you. You have clearer thought. You also have, I don't know if you ever noticed, like if you ever have like an injury or a pain or your shoulder hurts or something, you're about to go give a presentation and then nothing hurts, you know, because like all the adrenaline's rushing through your body and like it's like a painkiller, right? So you're on fire, you know, it's just ready to go. But yeah, this box breathing is a really simple method, and it can be used for anything. It can be used like the very first one we call the relaxing breath. It can relax you as well. So you can do it even before bed if you need to. So it's 4 seconds of inhaling. So it'd be like, then you hold it for 4 seconds, and then you exhale for 4 seconds, and you repeat that 4 times. So it creates a four, you know, 4-4-4-4 in a box. That's how they call it, box breathing, or I think maybe in yoga they may call it square breathing. Okay. So there's a couple of different definitions for it. I think we call it 4x4 breathing.
Yeah.
You know, so 4 in, 4 out. And notice you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth.
Yeah.
Right. And that's beneficial as well.
Yeah, I'll just tell you from my own personal experience, even recently, when you have something stressful to do and you have a few minutes to wait, we all have been in this situation, and doing that box breathing, the 4 in, 4 out, 4 in, 4 out, it will definitely lower your heart rate and calm you down in a nanosecond. So it is that, of all the things, that is really valuable stuff. Because all of us who are involved in these kinds of things need that periodically.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it enables you to slow your heart rate down, and it re-engages your brain, that thinking part of the brain. You know how we add the thinking games to the workouts?
Yes.
If you're going to ever add thinking games to your workout, the real trick is take a big deep breath before you answer anything. Because it kind of re-engages the brain, whether it's a math question or a history question or whatever, you know, that someone throws at you that you have to remember or do. Taking that big deep breath right before you answer will re-engage that thinking part of the brain, whether it's analytical thinking, creative thinking, just, you know, SOPs, you know, memory thinking, you know, all of those things that you need to know and need to know now. Big deep breath, then go, will really help.
All right, buddy. So summarize this for people about how to use their breathing in everything they do.
You know what? Try to really focus on what we call internal awareness. Right. So this means understand how you feel throughout your day, no matter what's going on. Right. And understand that you have these adrenaline rushes throughout the day, no matter what you're doing, right? If you're getting in the car first thing in the morning, your adrenaline's up a little higher because you're in a moving car. That's why I think we get so angry when, you know, someone pulls you over. I mean, your body thinks you're in a life or death situation and you're just seconds away from death, you know, and you are, you know, statistically, you really are. When you're in a car, you know, a half a turn this way for a split second can lead to a head-on collision, right? Yes. So your body, your mind is taking in all of that stuff. So just being able to breathe through some of that and focus and, you know, and not be angry because somebody makes a mistake and they pull out in front of you and maybe you're in their blind spot and they didn't see you. No need to escalate anything and start flipping birds and, you know, pull out your gun and, you know, just having a blind spot in their vehicle, right? So, you know, just breathe through it. You'll be much better off the rest of your day. So
and then use it on the other end.
One of many ways that breathing is going to help you, but it takes some internal awareness to know that you need to be able to breathe, whether that's working out, whether that is, like I said, in a risky situation, a high stress situation where you're about to need to perform, you know, all of those things, you know, you can use breaths for.
Sounds good, buddy. So we've used up our time today. It's good to see you. See you next time.
You too. Hey, you guys, check it out, stusmith.com. And there's always a promotion code up there at the very top. And if there's not one, you will hear it right here. Compete 15 will save you 15% year round. So
that's awesome. Compete for everybody. 1-5 promotion code.
Compete 1-5 promotion code will save you 15%. So if you're listening to this, you know, good job.
All right, buddy. Later, pal.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you.